Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
After struggling for months during my senior year with what we used to call senior panic, the realization, if you're on a Christian college campus, that if you have not met a mate on a Christian college campus, where are you ever going to meet one? And it was very obvious that I was not in demand by the men on the campus. My phone never rang, and I was not dated. But I began to pray about this business of going to the mission field single. I knew a number of old maid missionaries, and some of them were wonderful people, but I didn't really want to be one of those. And I began to pray, and instead of the Lord saying, "Yes, I have a husband for you," He said to me, "I want you to trust me." And then He began to press the question, "Would you be willing to go to the mission field single?" And it took me a while to say, "Yes, Lord," but God was reminding me of that commitment that I had made when I was 12 years old. Work out your whole will in my life at any cost. And God was saying, "Whose will did you ask for?" "Well, yours, Lord. Will you trust me? Will you follow me? And at what cost did you pray?" And I said, "Well, at any cost, Lord." "Well, what about singleness? Are you willing for that?" And I had no choice but to say, "Yes, Lord." I wasn't going to rescind the prayer. And it was during those months in my tiny room in Williston Hall in Wheaton that I began to understand a passage in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, that opened a whole tremendous realm to me of what it means to bring your desires under the Lordship of Christ. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses is reviewing for the children of Israel God's leading, and he says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." People have said to me sometimes, "Why are you always talking about discipline?" Well, for one thing, because that's what God is always up to. As far as I can see, He is teaching me. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a learner. Disciple comes from the same word as discipline. But that tremendous desire, that overwhelming, overriding, uncontrollable, tornado-like desire in the heart of every woman and every man for intimacy, for marriage, for a home. And of course, I can't say that it's in the heart of every man and every woman, but certainly in the large majority. One woman came up highly offended because I had said that in a meeting. She said, "I just want you to know there are a whole lot of us women that don't need men, and we're not looking for homes and children and all the rest of it." So my apologies, I said. But anyway, in my heart it was overwhelming. And I couldn't tell you how many letters I've had from young women saying, "I have prayed that God would remove the desire for marriage, and He hasn't done that, so I think that George is the man God wants me to marry. Now, George hasn't made any move in my direction, but what do you think I should do about George? And all I can say to them is, the fact that God does not remove the hunger from your heart for this is absolutely no proof whatsoever that God doesn't want you to be married. It is no proof that God is going to give you a husband. He suffered you to hunger. He made you hungry. And as the lady who had realized that she needed to lose quite a few pounds said to me some years later, I had been praying that God would take away my appetite. And she said, finally, when you said half a sentence in a message that I heard 6 years ago, she said, I realized that God was saying to me, if I took away your appetite, then what would you do? And she said, I realized that God was saying, I have to do something. I have to bring this thing under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the same thing is true with all desires, not just for food, not just for a husband or a wife, ordinary human desires, whether they be sexual or any other kind, need to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so began when I fell in love with Jim, and Jim confessed to me just a few weeks before I graduated that he had also fallen in love with me some months before and had not let me know this. So began a waiting period of 5.5 years before God gave Jim the green light to propose to me, and we were married after each of us had been single on two different sides of the Andes in Ecuador for about a year. We were married in October of 1953 in Quito and went to work together with the Quechuas beginning the translation of the book of Luke. And we had just finished the rough draft of the translation of the book of Luke when Jim was presented with an absolutely thrilling opportunity, which was to try to reach yet another tribe called Aucas, people whose language was different from Colorado or Quechua, people who had never been touched with the gospel and into whose tribe nobody had ever gone and come back alive. Quite a few people had gone in there, but they hadn't been heard from again. And so we knew that they were dangerous, and the men began to drop gifts to them over a period of 15 weeks. And in January of 1956, 5 American missionaries went into their territory, set up a camp on the edge, 5 days later had a very friendly contact with 3 Alca Indians. And on the following Sunday, just 2 days later, we received the radio message that Nate Saint, the pilot, had flown over the Alca houses, had actually seen 10 Indians headed in the direction of the missionary camp. So he said, we're excited, we're going to have a meeting with them this afternoon, we'll call you at 4:30. And you know the story, at 4:30 there was nothing but silence. It wasn't until 5 days later when a ground party was able to make their way down to that little sand strip on the Curaray River that we learned that all of the men had been speared to death. When I received the word that Jim was missing, God brought to my mind then the words from Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Trust me. I am the Lord. Jim couldn't have imagined the effect of his obedience, simple, instant obedience, when the opportunity came to join Operation Alca. Of course, he didn't agonize for days over that, sharing his deepest feelings with 39 of his closest friends. Of course he would go. It was the most thrilling thing he'd ever done in his life, and as he had written in his diary one time, wherever you are, be all there, live to the hilt, every situation you believe to be the will of God. And he lived it to the hilt, I can testify to that. How could he possibly imagine that such a quick, simple act of obedience would have such repercussions? Well, the great lesson, I think, that I learned out of Jim's death, and I've got to stop the story of my life way back in 1956. I can't bring you up to date. But if ever there was one verse that stuck out of all the hundreds of letters that were written and hundreds of verses that were sent to me, and I thanked God for all of those, it was that marvelous passage in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "These little troubles, which are really so transitory, are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen." And that verse grabbed me, and I realized that these little troubles, losing a husband, certainly didn't seem like a little trouble at the time, but I remembered that it was Paul writing that, Paul who had been shipwrecked and imprisoned and flogged and starved. These little troubles are really so transitory, and they are working for us. They are not preparing us for, but preparing for us that weight of glory. Think of that simile of the old-fashioned scales. You put all your troubles, and God knows our troubles seem very, very ponderous. Put them all on one side and put the weight of glory on the other side, and our troubles will look like feathers. As long as we are looking at the invisible things. It's the invisible things that are permanent. And so God was teaching me there the lesson of the invisible. And in closing, I'd like to give you another poem of Amy Carmichael's. If you allow me to do this, I just can't refrain. It just says so much. O God of stars and flowers, forgive our blindness. No dream of night had dared what thou hast wrought. New every morning is thy loving kindness, far, far above what we had asked or thought. Exceedingly abundantly above, Lord. O God of stars, thy thoughts are very high. The little opening buds, thy tender love, Lord, declare afresh beneath our changing sky. So under every sky, our alleluia, with flowers of morning and with stars of night, will praise thee, O beloved. Alleluia, till thou shalt fold all shadows up in light.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.